Bonjour from your brothers and sisters in the small Caribbean island nation of Haiti. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace, and we ask, Lord, that you would allow your word to move in us freely this morning. God, where we need to be built up, we pray that your spirit would build us up. Father, where we need to be rebuked, may we be willing to be rebuked. Simply have your way with your word that it'll accomplish your purposes, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're driving down the highway and you come along road construction. What's your first thought? I'll tell you what mine is. I've got better things to do than this. Why are they wasting my time? I want to almost speed up to get through it and get past it. Next thing I do, I take a dirty little analysis. I look at all the workers. I see two guys on phones, and I know that that's not working, so they must not be doing much. I see four guys leaning on shovels, and I wonder how come they're just standing there looking. There's a guy in the porta potty and one else in line. There's guys drinking water. There's one guy in a big machine, a bulldozer, moving rock, and all I could think of is, that's not really work, that's just fun. And there's one lonely guy who's got a shovel, sweating up a storm in the ditch. And I first get mad, and then I remember, well, it's just tax dollars. Let's just move on. But I can't. Because there's something unfair about that. There's something I feel deep inside that I've got to work. Why don't they have to work? Why do they get to stand around? I have to keep going day by day and run to get things done. Why do they get allowed to go on like this? And we don't. Except here's the problem. Sometimes what we think we're seeing is not really the truth. Sometimes what we imagine is going on is because we don't know the full story behind what's happening. And our smug little analysis that thinks we understand everything that's going on is wrong. We have kind of an obscure first reading today from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet who was kind of fed up with the way things were going on. He knew that Israel were God's people. And he was wondering, why did God allow the Babylonians to keep chipping away at Judah, this small little nation? And so he cried out to God. You see, sometimes, just like those workers, if we're honest, we think the same thing about God. God, you're lazy. If you weren't lazy, how could we be going through what we're going through in our world right now? God, if you really cared, how could the chaos that we're experiencing right now in our country and our world really happen? God, we won't say it out loud, but we really think you're just lazy, sitting in with celestial beings around you, praising you, and you really don't care about what's happening on earth. That's what Habakkuk thought. Let me read you again those first verses. He writes, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, and cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." That's what the prophet's saying. God, if you really cared, how could we be in this place? How could we be going through this? I serve in a little tiny nation off the coast of Florida on an island that is two countries put together, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic has part of it that brings in a lot of visitors. Haiti doesn't. I took over in 2014 and started an orphanage there. And the first thing I did in my ministry, I successfully lost everything. And I mean everything. Property that we thought was given to us, we lost because somebody stole. Threats on my life. And I remember being in that place wondering, God, where are you in this moment? Where are you when I thought this is where you called me to be? God gave us another piece of land. In 5 years, we had years of peace for 5 years. We built an entire orphanage. We have 2 dorms that'll house up to 60 kids. Things were going good, and then COVID hits. People can't travel internationally. We have to stop. And then this year, in June of this year, the president gets assassinated. A hit squad comes into his residence, gets past his guards, drives up to his home and kills him and shoots his wife. 2 months later, we have an earthquake. An earthquake that's worse than the one in 2010 that killed 200,000 people. It's about 80 miles from our orphanage. Not 200,000 this time, only like 3,000 or 4,000, but still 3,000 or 4,000 are dead. And while they're cleaning up for the earthquake, a hurricane hits. And everybody has to stop work and stop looking for bodies because we can't get around. And if that's not bad enough, 3 months ago, our orphanage gets attacked by a gang. Gunshots. They break in. Everybody locks themselves in a building so they're safe. There's moments that we are just like the prophet Habakkuk, and we're crying out, God, how could you allow this to happen? If you exist, why don't you come down and do something? And the truth is, right now in our own country, there's a lot of us who are thinking the same thing. We're too righteous to say it. But God, how can you allow the chaos of this world to happen? How could you allow the chaos of America to continue? And in fact, if we simply understand the church season we're going into Advent, I got to tell you, it was no different for those first century Christians. Because as Jesus was being born, people were not expecting the Messiah. In fact, many had given up on the Messiah, which is true, just as true today in Israel. Many have given up, who are Israelites, on the concept of Messiah. He comes into a world, birthed into a world where Romans, pagans, are leading. And right in the middle of the prophet's complaint, I want you to hear what God says, because he responds. He says, look at the nations, Habakkuk, and watch, and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Chaldeans, the ruthless and impetuous people, who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. He says, I am raising up the most unlikely people on earth to do my will through. Now you should be uncomfortable with that. God says, wait a second, Habakkuk. You're only seeing part of the picture, much like me when I drive by those road construction workers. I'm only seeing part of the picture. And he says to him, Habakkuk, you don't understand. I am doing something in your days that you would not believe, even if I told you. You see, I'm going to raise up this impetuous people called the Chaldeans, and they're going to come in and they're going to do my will. It says in John 5 that God is always at work. Jesus said, God is always working around us. And then he says, I look for where he was working and I go to join him. See, we can choose to look at what's happening in the world today. We can choose to look at the chaos. You can choose to look at this little island nation and decide it's not worth it. I have to tell you right now, 85% of the ministries in Haiti have closed their doors right now because of what's happening. Or you can step back and ask God to give you spiritual eyes past the natural to see what's happening. You see what's happened in the last 2 years with us? We've grown not just to be an orphanage, we've grown to build a school. We started a school for our own kids. And now we've got 80 kids shoved in two rooms that are 12 by 12. We've got as many kids as we can shove in to classrooms. We're growing so fast that we're going to build a new school. You see, at the rate that we're growing and people are coming to Christ in Haiti, it's actually not comparable to any other time in history. We have more Christians today now in Haiti than ever in the history of the country. We got our mission experience plan out there. You can grab one on the way out if you want. We're going to build a school, but we're not going to build a school for the 80. We're building a school for 500. And we'll be filled really quick. I have people in the community begging me, Pastor, please build a school because more of our kids who have never been to school will go to school. You see, I have 12-year-olds in first grade because they've never been educated. I have 14-year-olds in third grade because they're just learning to read and write. See, in the midst of this, the country came to our orphanage that we built, and we had to get a license for the orphanage. And they walked in, and they toured our facility, and they said, this is a facility that really should be the example for our entire country. In fact, you'll never guess what they were most impressed with. Our bathrooms. It's crazy. But here you have the national leaders walk through and they're praising us for our bathrooms. And before they leave, they look at us and say, can we do one thing, please? I said, sure. Can we use your bathrooms? Sure. And in the midst of this, we had to fire another director. And I find myself ending up in Haitian court again. And I've been told for all the years I've ministered in Haiti, an American can never beat a Haitian in Haitian court. And so you wonder, are we going to lose the property again, this beautiful piece of 5 acres? And there, because of COVID, we're not in a courtroom. We're shoved in a little room, and I'm the only American. The other guy walks in, he's got 3 lawyers, and I've got one. But you know what? I had an unfair advantage. You have an unfair advantage. Because every time you walk in the room, the God of the universe walks in the room. And even if you lose everything, the God of the universe is there. And he's saying, I'm going to do something out of this. At the end, they completely ruled in our favor for everything and secured everything we had. You want to read a story of God's miraculous working. And you can go out there when you're done. And what I do during COVID, I wrote a book, and I wrote it about our story. The best comment I've ever had about this book was done last week from a person in Parker. They read the book, and they said, how could an unbeliever ever read this book? How could you ever read this book and not believe in God? Because of what happens in this story. You see, God is still working in this world. If you want to be a part of the building campaign, I'll tell you, it's out there. I have to raise, here's what we're building next. We're building 8 classrooms. We're building an administration building. We're building a kitchen. We're building a dining hall. We're building a soccer field, a basketball court, a playground. We're building a house for a security guard and his family. And we're going to build an entire church. All for $488,000. I started raising money November 6th. I've got 90,000 already. You can give a one-time gift. You can pledge over 2 years. You can be part of what God's doing. The only thing, side note, I will tell you this, that if God leads you to give, please remember, your tithe goes to your local church. That's biblical. Your tithe comes to the place where you get fed. We're looking for your offering, not your tithe, if God challenges you. There's also free calendars out there if you want them. But God says, I am doing a thing that you would not even believe in your days. See, you can look at the chaos of this world. You can look at the pain and hardship. Or you can see a God who's never given up, who's never relinquished his throne, has never relinquished his sovereignty, who is still acting behind the scenes, still transforming lives. I had a baptism service a couple years ago that I had to rent a pool at a hotel because we had so many people. And 26 people got baptized in that pool. God is moving. God is touching lives. God is behind the scenes. And right now, you can choose to look at the pain and the hardship of this country and what we're going through. Or you can see, please understand this. I know you all have political opinions and views, but we serve in a different kingdom. We serve a different king. And no matter what happens in this world, our king will always have providence. He'll always be sovereign. In chapter 2, he answers the prophet one more time. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith. You see, when you look at the cross, what do you see? Because on that day, thousands of years ago, the enemy thought he won. The world thought they were done with Christ. If you can look at that and see victory and salvation and grace for you, then you're seeing with spiritual eyes. And I got to tell you, it's those same spiritual eyes you have to look at the world right now. Because the God who gave his son when you didn't ask for him is the same God who entered in that world at first Christmas. The same God who was birthed into this world of pain because he wasn't done. And no matter where you're at this Advent season, there's a God in Jesus who's involved in your life. Your God in Jesus who's not only forgiving you, but he's walking intimately with you. And not only has he not forgotten this small island nation of Haiti, but we're preparing in the bad times because you know what? We're going to get another season where God's going to allow us to break ground. And as soon as he does, we want to be ready. And as soon as God breathes into your church again and says it's move when this world and COVID is over, or at least the biggest part of it's over, be prepared. Because God has never been finished. You'll know when he's done. Because we'll all go home. In Jesus' name, amen.